Let us now turn in God's Word to the passage of Scripture we read there in the Acts of the Apostles and the second chapter. Let us pray now that the Lord will work in our hearts today as we receive His Word. He'll speak to us, we'll hear His voice, and we'll know the working of the Holy Ghost here in our midst. Let us pray to that end. O our God, Thou art holy. Lord, Thou hast called upon us to be holy even as Thou art holy. For without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And O gracious God, we pray that through Thy Word, Lord, today Thou will minister to our souls. And O Lord, do that work of sanctification, whereby, Lord, we are enabled to die unto sin and to live more and more unto righteousness. Help us, Lord, to thirst after holiness of life. So our God, come now and bless us as a congregation. Bless our witness here in this town and further afield. Grant, Lord, that through the witness of our church and each one of us as individuals, sinners, Lord, will be brought savingly to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, be our help and our portion now, granting us the power of the Holy Ghost, that, Lord, we might be enabled to preach the Word and to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. In His thrice holy name we pray. Amen. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. The verse of Scripture we would like to consider with the Lord's help today is the last verse of that passage we have read, Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Children of God, the congregation there in Jerusalem were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It is that last sentence that we want to primarily consider today. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I want this morning to consider the church that God blesses. From our reading this morning, we have noticed that on two occasions, mention is made of an adding to the church at Jerusalem. And we have also noticed that this adding took on different forms. In verse 41, we read, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." So the first adding unto the church at Jerusalem was in the form of 3,000 souls being converted at once and being added to the church. Now in our text, we have an adding to the church, but this is in a different form. For we read in verse 47, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And so the Lord, if He chooses, can bring upon a church such a deluge of blessing in the form of 3,000 souls that we might say there is not room enough to receive it. Like one of those heavy showers of rain, the large raindrops fall, and down comes a deluge, and in no time at all the fields and the roads are flooded. Few of us have experienced such an outpouring of God's Holy Spirit, but that doesn't mean that the Lord has lost His ability to do the same again. I believe that God is still the same God. And the God that worked on the day of Pentecost, adding 3,000 souls to the church, is the same God that we worship today. And God can do the same thing today. God can give the increase. He's promised to do so. We read in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 37, thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. And so the Lord here doesn't promise to give that increase in ones and twos. It would include that. But the Lord says, I will be inquired of them by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. He's able to bring in a flock, as it were, of men at one time. As the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Where the beginnings may be small, the Lord has promised, I will cause the latter end to greatly increase. He is the God of revival and is able to sweep many into the kingdom at one given time. If He was pleased to do so, dear child of God, He could fill this house on one Sabbath day. He's able to do it. And we must believe that. And we must get a hold of that. Our God is able. But of course the Lord does not always work in that way. Instead, He may choose to add to the church and give a gradual increase, as He did here, as outlined for us in verse 47 of Acts 2, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There in the church in Jerusalem, each day saw a gradual, steady increase. Without a doubt, here was a church that was in the midst of blessing. God was blessing the church in Jerusalem in a remarkable way. And surely that would be your prayer, as it is most certainly my prayer. Lord, do the same here also. It would be our prayer, as it was the prayer of Jabez. For Jabez prayed, Lord, bless me indeed. And what kind of a church will the Lord bless in this manner? What kind of a church do we have here before us in Acts chapter 2, this church in Jerusalem. The first thing we must notice here in the church in Jerusalem is the workings of the Lord in the church. Now you will notice immediately that what happened in the church in Jerusalem was the work of God. Notice what it says in our text. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And dear Christian, this is something that we must not overlook. Remember what the Lord Jesus himself has said. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Yes, I will build my church. I will work. I will add to the church daily such as should be saved. Remember also the words of the Apostle Paul in that first letter to the church at Corinth. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God, not Paul, not Apollos, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. We were mentioning on Wednesday night how the Lord worked in our church in Newtown Square in Pennsylvania for 12 to 13 years. Reverend John Greer preached to a mere handful of people on some occasions. He only had his own family to preach to. And this went on for 12 to 13 years. There was a church vacant in Ulster, and it was making inquiries as to whether Mr. Greer would consider a call to that church. And just at that time, as God's servant was considering that call, that little handful of people were suddenly increased to a great number. The Lord came suddenly to his temple. And that dwelling house that had been turned into a preaching house and into a church suddenly was filled. So much so that people had to stand in the doorway. And people stood outside listening to the word. And that church went on from strength to strength. But Mr. Greer testified afterwards. He said, for 12 to 13 years, I preached the same message. And from then on, I preached the same message. He says, I didn't change my message. I didn't change my ministry. I didn't change my methods. So what happened? God gave the increase. God began to work in a wonderful way in that church. For it was the Lord's time. His set time to visit Zion had come. And when you look at the church in Jerusalem, it was the set time for the Lord to visit Zion. And we see there the workings of God in that church. And believer, let us pray that we also will see the workings of God in this church and in this district. We see the workings of the Lord in the church. The workings of the Lord through the power of the Spirit of God. It was the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost had come. He had rested upon the apostles, including Peter. And verse 4 tells us, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. As Peter stood up to preach, he made reference to the fact that this was the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. And when men are filled with the Holy Ghost, and when the Spirit of God works, what happens? Peter told them, verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that is the work of the Spirit of God, the work of the Holy Ghost. When He has come, the Lord says, He will reprove or convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. Therefore, when the Holy Ghost came that day, men and women began to call on the name of the Lord and were saved. And 3,000 souls were added to the church. And the Spirit of God continued to work. And the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. It was the workings of the Holy Ghost that brought people to hear the preaching of Peter. Look there in verse 6. Verse 6 of the second chapter. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. What was it brought them together? It was the work of the Spirit of God. God's servants were filled with the Holy Ghost. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. And then we read in verse 14, the same chapter, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them. He addressed the multitude that had been brought together by the Spirit of God. And dear Christian, this is something we must keep before us and keep in our hearts and keep in our minds. This church will go nowhere except the Spirit of God works in our hearts, works in our midst, works in our church, works in our town, and we need them to pray to that end. We need to see the working of God. We cannot, much as we would like to, we cannot go into the homes of the people and drag them out and bring them in under the sound of the gospel. God must do it. We cannot turn the steps of the people and direct them into this meeting house. The Holy Ghost must do it. We cannot create an anxious thought in the minds of the ungodly. The Holy Ghost must do it. We cannot convince men of their sin and convert them to a life of righteousness and holy living. The Holy Ghost must do it. And we must pray for the Holy Ghost to work in this manner and add to the church daily such as should be saved. So you have the workings of the Holy Ghost. You have not only God working through the power of the Spirit, but God working through the preaching of His servant Peter. After Peter received the fullness of the Holy Ghost, we're told in verse 14, he lifted up his voice and said unto them, the church that the Lord will bless is a church that preaches the word. Speaking to the church at Corinth, the Apostle Paul said, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The foolishness of preaching. Paul knew, you see, that there were those, even in his day, who believed that preaching was foolishness. And many today believe that. Many today believe that preaching is foolishness, and so they've abandoned the preaching. The Lord Jesus believed in preaching. Isaiah tells us, Isaiah 61 and verse 1, regarding the promise of the coming Messiah, he would preach good tidings unto the meek. Jesus Christ would come preaching. John the Baptist believed in preaching. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Among his last words before he was led out to martyrdom, his last words to the young preacher Timothy, to young Timothy, he said, Timothy, can I leave a parting word with you? That parting word would be, Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. And continually throughout Scripture, the emphasis is upon preaching. Preaching to sinners. Preaching to saints. Preaching to the holy. Preaching to the hopeless. Preaching in season. Preaching out of season. Preaching when it is enjoyed and blessed. Preaching when it is not enjoyed. There must be the preaching of the word. And the church that God blesses is the church that has a pulpit instead of a platform. Too many churches today have removed the pulpit and replaced it with platforms. And the people go there to be entertained. God will bless the church that has a preacher in the pulpit, not an entertainer. People ought not to be going to the house of God to be entertained. They ought to be going up to the house of God to be told about eternal matters. There's nothing entertaining about hell. There's nothing entertaining about the lake of fire, about eternal punishment. There's nothing entertaining about the story of the cross, the crucifixion, the suffering, the agony, the wounds, and the blood. That's what the church is to be about. Preaching the blood, preaching the cross, preaching the sufferings of Christ, preaching hell, preaching heaven, preaching eternal punishment for lost souls. That's the church that God will bless. That's what was going on in Jerusalem. And God added to the church daily such as should be saved. So we have the workings of the Lord through the power of the Spirit, through the preaching of His servant, and through the promoting of the Savior. And Peter stood up to speak. He had no intention of speaking about himself. People hadn't gathered around him to hear Peter tell them about himself. No, they wanted to hear something more important. And from verse 22 to verse 36, you have Paul's preaching. And what kind of preaching was it? It was Christ-centered preaching. When Paul had a multitude gathered around him, he preached unto them Jesus of Nazareth. That's the church that God will bless. Church that promotes Jesus Christ. Did not the Lord bless the preaching of Philip to the Samaritans? Of course He did. Why? Because He preached Christ unto them. God did a work in that city because the Son of God was promoted by Philip through the preaching of His servant. God blessed the ministry of Paul. Wherever he went, God blessed the ministry of Paul. Why? Because he preached Christ and Him crucified. God is bound to honor the preaching of His Word. God is bound to honor the preaching of His dear Son. He must do it. He has to do it. He has promised to do it. For He has said, I, as I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto Me. There you see the workings of God in the church of Jerusalem. Through the power of the Spirit, through the preaching of the servant, through the promoting of the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior, God added to the church daily such as should be saved. And the Lord blessed this church and did a mighty work there also because of the prominence of the Scriptures. You look at the sermon of Peter, and you find that it was a sermon, it was a word that was based on Scripture. It was full of Scripture. Verse 14, we have noted Peter standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to My words. I want you to hear the words. And verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you. That was the word. We've already mentioned that in his sermon, he quoted the book of Joel. In his sermon, he twice over quoted from the Psalms. And so we see that in Peter's preaching, you have the prominence of Scripture. He preached the Word. Again, what Paul told Timothy to do. Preach the Word. And when he preached the Word, souls were saved. Look there in the chapter 2 at verse 41. Here's something we ought to take note of. Peter has preached. He's promoted Christ. He's preached the Word. And we are told in verse 41, then they that gladly received His Word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Notice something important. It says, then they that gladly received the word. They weren't coerced. They weren't forced into making a decision. No, this was the work of God. They gladly received the word. Peter wasn't interested in numbers. Peter was interested in getting sinners into the kingdom, and only God could do that. And the people gladly received the word, an indication that this was not the work of man. This was the work of God. 3,000 souls were saved. 3,000 souls were added to the church. And God continued to work. And the Lord added to the church daily, to the church in Jerusalem. There's the workings of God. There's the church that God blesses. He blesses the church by the power of the Spirit, by the preaching of His servants, by the promoting of the Savior, by the preeminence of the Scriptures. May that be this church. May there always be the promoting of Christ in this church. Always. We've said before, we've prayed before, the day that Jesus Christ is not promoted in this church is the day that God ought to close the church rather than bring disgrace and dishonor to the name of His dear Son. May it always be a preaching church. May it always be a church in which the Holy Scriptures are prominent and preeminent in the preaching. That's the church God will bless. So we have the workings of the Lord in the church. Now we have the worship of the Lord in the church. You look at this church of Jerusalem, this church that God was pleased to add to on a daily basis. How did they worship? They must have worshipped in such a way that pleased the Lord, because the Lord added to the church. God will only add to that church where He is pleased with the worship. Most certainly the Lord was pleased with the worship of the people of God in Jerusalem. There will be no blessing for the church that doesn't honor the Lord in their worship. Needn't go any further with that. That is a truth. That's a fact. The psalmist has said, exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. Worship. Worship. And in our worship we're to exalt the Lord our God. Worship at His footstool, for He is holy. Psalm 99 verse 5. And if our acts of worship glorify the Lord and exalt Him, God will bless. God will bless. So we look at their worship. Notice their perseverance. In verse 41, then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Verse 46, and they continuing, there's the word again, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily. Their worship pleased the Lord. They persevered. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Though they had been suddenly converted, though they were exposed to much persecution, their Savior had just been crucified, though all these things were going on and they were treated with contempt, they faced many trials, yet they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They did not waver. They were not shaken. Let's take those two words. Continued steadfastly. They come from a word which means attending one, remaining by his side. It means not leaving or forsaking. So what do we have here? We have those in the church at Jerusalem who had come under the preaching of the Apostle Peter. They had been converted through his ministry, 3,000 of them, and they continued in that word, in that teaching, in that instruction they had heard from the lips of Peter. In other words, they were saying, Peter, we're going to stand by you. We're going to stand by your teaching. We're going to stand by your doctrine. You've taught us many things. We want you to teach us many more things. That's what it means. They continued steadfastly. They continued on, giving ear to the word, worshiping God, standing by the apostles' doctrine, standing by their teaching and their instruction. They were saying to Peter, we're going to stand with you. We're going to stand with you, remaining by your side, as the words mean. These believers were not going to be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. No. They were going to stand fast, continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. And as they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, the Lord added to the church. Believer, let us stand by the apostles' doctrine. Let us stand by the teaching we have received and continue steadfastly. And the Lord will add to the church daily such as should be saved. Notice also, not only did they persevere, they also prayed. For we read again in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. This was a praying church as well as a preaching church. And as they prayed, you notice that? As they prayed, you have their praying in verse 42, and you have the adding to the church in verse 47. As they prayed, the Lord added to the church. They continued steadfastly before the throne of grace. We must be prepared to continue steadfastly before the throne of grace. We must be prepared to continue steadfastly in prayer. We must, believer. We cannot give up praying. We ought to get a hold of God's promises. Promises such as is found in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We long for those great and mighty things. Well then, you join me. Will we take off the coat, roll up our sleeves, get down on our knees, and wrestle before the throne of grace, and say, Lord, add to this church daily such as should be saved. May we get before God and pray for those great and mighty things. Seeing sinners saved through our witness would be a mighty thing. Seeing the Lord add to the church daily would be a mighty thing. Seeing a new preaching house erected here would be a mighty thing. Seeing souls long prayed for at last gathered into the fold would be a mighty thing. Then let us, believer, remain steadfast in prayer. They persevered, they prayed, they praised. For we are told there in verse 47, praising God, having favor with all the people. They, of course, received the word gladly. There was gladness in this church. Verse 46, and they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness. There was gladness. There was happiness. There was joy in this church. This wasn't a cold, dead, lifeless, joyless church. There was joy in this church. They were praising God. And we read that praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church. Oh, believer, may this always be a joyous assembly of believers. You remember your days in apostasy? I do. I remember being a member of an old dead apostate Anglican church. Talk about cold. I remember a preacher saying he was in a church one time, it was so cold you could have hung meat in it. And there's some churches as cold as that. And they're as lifeless as that. Dr. Paisley talks about churches that are as dead as a morgue. Oh, may God deliver us. Deliver us from churches like that. When people come to this house, when visitors come into this house, may they feel welcome. May they find a people that are happy in the Lord. Have the joy of the Lord in their souls. And when they hear us sing, may they hear a people who love to exalt the Lord in the singing of the Psalms, in the singing of those good old-fashioned gospel hymns that are sound doctrinally, and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise ye the Lord, for the Lord is good. For it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. That's where the Lord will command the blessing. May we be a happy people. We can only be a happy people if we're happy in the Lord. If we're not happy in the Lord, then let us pray, Lord, get us into blessing. Make us happy in the Lord. And finally, there's the witness for the Lord in this church. This church bore a good witness for the Lord both without and within. First, there was the fear of the Lord. Look at verse 43. And fear came upon every soul. That's outside the church. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Well, that's a change, isn't it? Look at verse 13. Verse 12, they get the connection, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. It was the people of the city were mocking the servants of God. But now the Spirit of God is working through this church. 3,000 souls have been saved. And it says, and fear came upon every man. My, wouldn't you love that, believer? For it's true, it is true. When God works by the power of His Holy Spirit, there is produced in the community an unusual seriousness and solemnity, even amongst those that are not converted. Oh, we'd love to see it, would we not? Sure we would. The witness for the Lord in the church was the fear of the Lord. There was their fellowship in the Lord. Here we come into the church now. Verse 42, 44, verse 45 refers there to their fellowship, continuing daily with one accord. They were gracious. There was a love between the believers. There was no backbiting. There was no sowing of discord. There was no infighting. They were gracious one to another. Not only were they gracious, they were generous. For we are told in verse 45, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. The Lord will bless a giving church. Malachi 3 and verse 10. Prove me if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive. And that has to do with giving. It was a gracious church. And they were generous. That was their fellowship and their fruitfulness. For it says, and the Lord added to the church daily. They were fruitful. Lord, make us a fruitful church. Believer, will you join us? Will you stand with us? Will you pray for us? Will you pray with us? That God will do the same here. That God will work by the power of His Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Ghost. He has said, we've only to ask, and He will do it. Let us ask and wait for that moment when He does it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our God and our loving Father, we ask Thee, Lord, to bless the Word to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to give ourselves to praying down the blessing, praying in the sinners, praying them into the kingdom, praying blessing upon Thy people. Oh God, answer prayer. Give us that burden, Lord, that we need. Give us that vision, dear Lord, that we need. Oh, breathe upon us even today. Oh God, we ask earnestly. We ask in the name of Thy Son. We ask pleading the blood. Lord, add to the church here daily such as should be saved. Bless the word to our hearts today. May we meditate upon it. And Lord, speak to us through it, even throughout this day. Return us, Lord, to Thy house this night to worship Thee. May we see thy mighty arm made bare. Bless us, Lord, as we leave the Lord's house today. Take us to our homes in safety. May the Lord go with us. May the Spirit of God minister to us as we journey. We ask these things in his wonderful name. Amen.